Heavenly Father, we do thank you for so much for your written word, and we thank you that you speak through it. So today our prayer this morning is that you would speak to our hearts and to our minds, that we might understand that you have revealed yourself and that we might be people who respond rightly to you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. People sometimes are asked this question: if there is a God, why doesn't he show himself? There's a book with the title, If I Were God, I'd Make Myself Clearer. Well, today we're looking at Psalm 19. It's a prayer of King David, and it answers that question. And it shows us that God has made himself known and shows us how. Psalm 19 is there on page 552 of the Church Bibles, and it'd be helpful to keep it open as we learn from it together for today. And King David makes three points. The first is that God has made himself known as creator through his creation. God has made himself known as creator through his creation. Let's have a look at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. What is King David saying? Well, he is saying that the very skies show us that there is a God, and they show us what he is like. Just how marvellous he is, and we see it simply by looking at what he has made. Just think of the stars on a clear night in the countryside. As you look up at them, they can take your breath away. And we only see a small number of stars when we start, you know, the small number that are actually there. Scientists say there's something like 10 billion stars in our own galaxy, the Milky Way. And then our galaxy is just part of a universe of hundreds of millions of galaxies. And we go, wow. Or just think of our own star, the sun, which gives light and warmth and the very means of life on earth here. That's what King David is pointing to in verses 4 to 6 when he writes, in the heavens he's pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The sun is something big in God's creation. But let's just think of something small. We sang a few minutes ago, each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings. And when we see how small and intricate and beautiful flowers are, we realize that the creation around us is not an accident. We see evidence of a creator. And moreover, evidence of a creator who's infinitely powerful, wise and good. So how do we respond? Some people have responded wrongly. Some human beings have worshipped parts of creation. They've worshipped the sun or the moon or the stars as gods. Others have declared that the amazing creation is just a cosmic accident. Just listen to these words from Romans chapter 1. What may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So the Bible, both here in Psalm 19 and elsewhere, says that all people everywhere have some revelation of God. All of us have evidence of a creator. Wherever we are in the world, we can look up into the sky and see the stars and the sun and know that there is a God. And if we reject him, then we're without excuse. The right response is that we worship and praise God as the creator and sustainer of the world. So the first way that God has made himself known is as creator and is through his creation. Now the second way that God has made himself known is through his word. God has made himself known through his word. And we're looking here at verses 7 to 11. Now, the creation tells us that there is an amazing God to know, but it can't help us to know God personally. We can't know somebody unless they speak. But God, who made everything, does speak. He's graciously given us his word, the Bible, this book. And God has made himself known even more clearly in his word. Here in verses 7 to 11, he's no longer just called God, but by his name, the Lord, or Yahweh. This is his personal name by which he can be known. This is the name that we see written here in these verses. Let's have a look at verses 7 to 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Now, did you notice as we read through it what God's word is like? God's word is perfect and trustworthy in verse 7. It'd be a crime to add to it, treason to alter it, and felony to take from it. You can depend on it. Or in verse 8, we see that God's word is right. That is, it conforms to what we find in the world. And it is radiant. God's word helps us to see things clearly. In verse 9, God's word is pure. That is, it's free from any moral impurity. And it's also sure, so you can rely on it, because it'll never be overturned. And in verse 10, we're told that God's word is more precious than much pure gold and sweeter than honey. Now, do you see what David does here? He affirms the value of God's word. Now, we often treat God's word as laws to be obeyed, but really we do so only grudgingly. We follow them, but only to avoid being caught. But this is the wrong way to value God's word. It is wonderful, David is saying. Look at how David shows us the wonder of God's law. What is the effect of the Lord's word on us? Well, have a look again at verse 7, please. God's word revives the soul. It gives us life. It refreshes us. Or in verse 7, it makes wise the simple. Simple people, that's us folks, can become skilled and discerning. Or in verse 8, the effect on us of following God's word is that it gives joy to the heart, because we know that following what God says is right. And in verse 8, the effect of following God's word is that it gives light to the eyes. You can tell somebody who loves following and obeying God because it energizes their whole being. And please look at verse 11. God's word warns us, and when we keep God's commands, we are rewarded greatly. Now, verse 11, I think, brings out the implication of what David is saying. We have to read God's word, but we also have to heed it. We have to obey what God says in his word in order for it to bring us joy and great blessing. Just let's think about this in practice. Let's think about sexual relationships. The Bible says that marriage between one man and one woman is for life. That's how where marriage is found. And we're called to be faithful, and being unfaithful to a spouse is a serious sin. And we know that marital unfaithfulness leads to great misery. It breaks trust and breaks up families. It can ruin them. But we can also find that when we listen to and obey what God says to us in the Bible about being faithful in marriage, it brings great blessing and great joy to families. Faithfulness brings trust and stability and great reward. Well, let's think about our obedience to God's word in a different area of life, our speech and what we say. Let's think about gossip and its relation, slander. Gossip is passing on information or rumours about others, which may or may not be true. Slander is when you know that the information you pass on is not true. Now, I hope that we all think that gossip is a sin, because God certainly does. So in Proverbs 16, it says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, that is conflict, and gossip separates close friends. Or Romans 1 says that those who behave sinfully and are under God's judgment, they'll do these things. But Romans 1 verse 29, they become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips. Or in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 20, the Apostle Paul, fearing that the Corinthian church there may be filled with quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, faction, slander, gossip, arrogance and disorder. See, the Bible does think that gossip is a terrible thing. God thinks that. So Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. There's an American pastor called Ray Ortland. I think he spoke maybe this year at Word Alive. And he's a pastor in the US. And he's an author in a paper entitled How to Build Up a Gospel Culture in Your Church. And he writes this: the greatest threat to a typical church is not the adulterer, but the gossip. Churches rarely go into meltdown through an adulterer, while they may go into meltdown through a gossip. A church that would never tolerate being turned into an orgy of sexual sin might make huge allowance for an orgy of verbal sin. Friends, not listening to God's word, disobeying God's word, can lead to destruction in a church. But conversely, when we obey the Bible, when it comes to the matter of our speech, it brings great blessing. And the Bible instructs us in this. So again, let's take the example of gossip and slander. Say Proverbs 20 verse 19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man, that is anyone, who talks too much. Or Proverbs 26 verse 20, wood without fire goes out, without gossip a quarrel dies down. And gossip thrives in a church only when it's tolerated and acted on. Friends, if someone comes up to you and tells you something about somebody else, get your Bible out and turn to Matthew 18, verses 15 and 20, and show it to them. Show it to that person. And then say to them, my dear brother or my dear sister, if you've got an issue with Fred or Frida, you're not to talk about him or her. You are to go to him and raise the matter with him. Come on, let me take you to Fred now, and you can raise the matter with him, and you can discuss the matter between the two of you. That will squash gossip straight away. If somebody gossips to us, we need to make sure that we are being obedient if we love our church family. And when instead of gossip and slander we heed God's word, when our speech is godly, seasoned with salt, when we have Jesus on our lips, when as the New Testament we encourage one another, teach and admonish one another, when we build one another up, when we spur one another on to love and good deeds, when we have the mindset of Jesus, Christ Jesus, it brings great joy and blessing and unity to a church. And that church is a great witness to outsiders. King David says there in Psalm 19, there in verse 11, in keeping them, that is God's commands, the Lord's commands, there is great reward. So that means if we see how valuable God's word is, we need to make sure that we listen to it when it is being taught on a Sunday and not go to sleep, for example. It means that we need to read it for ourselves during the week. And when we hear it taught and read it, we need to ask for God's help to live it out. So God has made himself known through his creation, and he's made himself known even more fully through his word. Now lastly, God has made himself known through his Son, Jesus Christ. God has made himself known through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's have a look at verses 12 to 14. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me, then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. As we read God's word, we will realize, along with David, that although they are perfect and right and trustworthy and good, we'll not always obey God's word. We'll not always obey his commands. In fact, we disobey them every day, whether or not we're Christians. And if we're honest, we realize that we fall short of God's standard of perfection in his word by a long way. Sometimes this will be through willful sins, as verse 13, things where we know that we're doing wrong, actively doing what is wrong. But sometimes also it's just through our hidden faults, errors that we barely discern, the sin that is so ingrained in us that we hardly see it. Reading God's word makes us see his perfection and our imperfection and sin and our need for forgiveness from him. And this is why it's so important that God has made himself known, not just in his word, but also through the word, his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the Lord's final word of revelation. In Jesus, God has made himself known in a way that surpasses both his creation and his word. As Hebrew 1 says, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. See, God sent his Son not just to reveal God, but to redeem us, to free us from sin and death. As Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And if we turn to God and repent of our sins and put our trust in Jesus' death on the cross to pay for our sin, then we are forgiven, we are redeemed. And with David, we can call God my rock and my redeemer. With David we can pray, Psalm 19 is a prayer, praising our wondrous and glorious God as creator and sustainer of the world, thanking him for his word, and asking for forgiveness when we do not keep his commands, and thanking him for his son, the great revealer of God, and our only redeemer. So as we sit, let's bow our heads, and let's pray to him. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, Heavenly Father, we praise you that you have revealed yourself clearly in creation. We only need to look up at the sky during the day or at night, and we can see that here we live in a world made by someone who's very great, good and powerful and wise. We praise you that you reveal yourself even more fully in your written word. And we thank you for the value of your word. Father, we so often don't think your word is very valuable. And yet we know it's life-giving and refreshing and so many more things as well. And as we follow it, we know that it does indeed bring joy to our hearts. And we thank you that as we also read it, it points out our sins. And we ask that, like David, that our sins would not rule over us, either our hidden faults or our willful sins. Turn us, so that we might be people who live under your protection and care and rejoice in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.